we invite you to tune in to our 24/7 internet radio. It is loaded with edifying sermons, music, and other programs. You can listen to Stream Globe Radio at www.streamglobe.org.
Today's Stream Globe devotional is titled, A Sign of Maturity. Today's meditation was written by Pastor S.D. Abraham. We shall take our Bible reading from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Until we all attain oneness in the faith and in the comprehension of the knowledge of the Son of God, that it really mature manhood, the completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection, the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ in the completeness found in Him. I have just read from the Amplified Bible. Lara and Sabrina had been friends since their university days. They attended the same campus fellowship, prayed together, and even once shared dreams of going into ministry. But as time passed and their personal convictions deepened, their conversations started turning into debates, and those debates often turned into heated arguments. Lara leaned heavily on the message of grace. She often said, "Jesus already paid it all. We must focus on faith and not works. Preachers who constantly point out sin are preaching condemnation, not the gospel." To her, calling out sin felt like a denial of God's grace. Sabrina, on the other hand, saw things differently. "Faith without works is dead," she would say, quoting James. "If someone claims to be saved but still lives like the world, how can that be genuine salvation? True grace empowers us to live holy. Preachers must speak the truth about sin, or else they're leading people astray." Despite their shared love for Christ, their different views became a wedge. Conversations once filled with encouragement now left them emotionally drained. Over time, their friendship grew cold, not because one of them was false, but because they could not come to the unity of the faith. Sadly, this story is not uncommon in the body of Christ. Today, there are countless denominations and fellowships divided over differing emphases in doctrine. But a key sign of spiritual immaturity is narrow-mindedness, the inability to recognize the genuine work of God in someone who doesn't fully see things your way, even if they believe in Christ and submit to His Lordship. As we grow in Christ, we are not only expected to grow in truth, but also in love, humility, and patience. True maturity brings unity, not by ignoring truth, but by walking in it with grace and understanding. Go into today knowing that as we grow into the fullness of Christ, we will become more united, more open-hearted, and less quick to judge. Ask the Lord to help you grow into the measure of Christ's stature, that perfect blend of truth and love, holiness and humility. Prayer. Lord Jesus, please help me grow into the fullness of Christ. Teach me to love deeply, walk humbly, and live in unity with those who call on your name in truth. Today's yearly Bible reading shall be taken from Job chapters 31 to 3. This Bible reading plan is continuous. If you begin with us today, by this time next year, you will have gone through the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. The reading comes up next, Job chapters 31 to 3.
I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a virgin. For what is our lot from God above, our heritage from the Almighty on high? Is it not ruin for the wicked, disaster for those who do wrong? Does he not see my ways and count my every step? If I have walked with falsehood, or my foot has hurried after deceit, let God weigh me in honest scales, and he will know that I am blameless. If my steps have turned from the path, if my heart has been led by my eyes, or if my hands had been defiled, then may others eat what I have sown, and may my crops be uprooted. If my heart has been enticed by a woman, or if I have lurked at my neighbor's door, then may my wife grind another man's grain, and may other men sleep with her. For that would have been wicked, a sin to be judged. It is a fire that burns to destruction. It would have uprooted my harvest. If I have denied justice to any of my servants, whether male or female, when they had a grievance against me, what will I do when God confronts me? What will I answer when called to account? Did not he who made me in the womb make them? Did not the same one form us both within our mothers? If I have denied the desires of the poor, or let the eyes of the widow grow weary, if I have kept my bread to myself, not sharing it with the fatherless, but from my youth I reared them as a father would, and from my birth I guided the widow. If I have seen anyone perishing for lack of clothing or the needy without garments, and their hearts did not bless me for warming them with the fleece from my sheep, if I have raised my hand against the fatherless, knowing that I had influence in court, then let my arm fall from the shoulder. Let it be broken off at the joint. For I dreaded destruction from God, and for fear of his splendor, I could not do such things. If I have put my trust in gold, or said to pure gold, you are my security. If I have rejoiced over my great wealth, the fortune my hands had gained, if I have regarded the sun in its radiance, or the moon moving in splendor, so that my heart was secretly enticed and my hand offered them a kiss of homage, then these also would be sins to be judged, for I would have been unfaithful to God on high. If I have rejoiced at my enemy's misfortune, or gloated over the trouble that came to them, I have not allowed my mouth to sin by invoking a curse against their life. If those of my household have never said, who has not been filled with Job's meat? But no stranger had to spend the night in the street, for my door was always open to the traveler. If I have concealed my sin, as people do, by hiding my guilt in my heart because I so feared the crowd and so dreaded the contempt of the clans that I kept silent and would not go outside. Oh, that I had someone to hear me. I sign now my defense. Let the Almighty answer me. Let my accuser put his indictment in writing. Surely I would wear it on my shoulder. I would put it on like a crown. I would give him an account of my every step. I would present it to him as to a ruler. If my land cries out against me, and all its furrows are wet with tears, if I have devoured its yield without payment or broken the spirit of its tenants, then let briars come up instead of wheat, and stinkweed instead of barley.
The words of Job are ended. So these three men stopped answering Job, because he was righteous in his own eyes. But Elihu, son of Barachel, the Buzite, of the family of Ram, became very angry with Job for justifying himself rather than God. He was also angry with the three friends because they had found no way to refute Job and yet had condemned him. Now Elihu had waited before speaking to Job because they were older than he. But when he saw that the three men had nothing more to say, his anger was aroused. So Elihu, son of Barachel, the Buzite, said,
I am young in years, and you are old. That is why I was fearful, not daring to tell you what I know. I thought, age should speak, advanced years should teach wisdom. But it is the spirit in mortals, the breath of the Almighty, that gives them understanding. It is not only the old who are wise, not only the aged who understand what is right. Therefore I say, listen to me. I too will tell you what I know. I waited while you spoke. I listened to your reasoning while you were searching for words. I gave you my full attention, but not one of you has proved Job wrong. None of you has answered his arguments. Do not say, we have found wisdom. Let God refute him, not a mere mortal. But Job has not marshaled his words against me, and I will not answer him with your arguments. They are dismayed and have no more to say. Words have failed them. Must I wait now that they are silent? Now that they stand there with no reply? I too will have my say.
I too will tell what I know, for I am full of words, and the spirit within me compels me. Inside, I am like bottled up wine, like new wineskins, ready to burst. I must speak and find relief. I must open my lips and reply. I will show no partiality, nor will I flatter anyone, for if I were skilled in flattery, my maker would soon take me away.
But now, Job, listen to my words. Pay attention to everything I say. I'm about to open my mouth. My words are on the tip of my tongue. My words come from an upright heart. My lips sincerely speak what I know. The Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life. Answer me then, if you can. Stand up and argue your case before me. I am the same as you in God's sight. I too am a piece of clay. No fear of me should alarm you, nor should my hand be heavy on you. But you have said in my hearing, I heard the very words. I am pure. I have done no wrong. I am clean and free from sin. Yet God has found fault with me. He considers me his enemy. He fastens my feet in shackles. He keeps close watch on all my paths. But I tell you, in this, you are not right. For God is greater than any mortal. Why do you complain to him that he responds to no one's words? For God does speak, now one way, now another, though no one perceives it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on people as they slumber in their beds, he may speak in their ears and terrify them with warnings, to turn them from wrongdoing and keep them from pride, to preserve them from the pit, their lives from perishing by the sword. Or they may be chastened on a bed of pain with constant distress in their bones, so that their bodies find food repulsive and their souls loathe the choicest meal. Their flesh wastes away to nothing, and their bones, once hidden, now stick out. They draw near to the pit, and their lives to the messengers of death. Yet if there is an angel at their side, a messenger, one out of a thousand sent, to tell them how to be upright, and he is gracious to them and says to God, spare them from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom for them. Let their flesh be renewed like a child's. Let them be restored as in the days of their youth. Then they can pray to God and find favor with him. They will see God's face and shout for joy. He will restore them to full well-being. And they will go to others and say, we have sinned. We have perverted what is right, but we did not get what we deserved. God has delivered us from going down to the pit, and we shall live to enjoy the light of life. God does all these things to people. Twice, even three times, to turn them back from the pit, that the light of life may shine on them. Pay attention, Job, and listen to me. Be silent, and I will speak. If you have anything to say, answer me. Speak up, for I want to vindicate you. But if not, then listen to me. Be silent, and I will teach you wisdom.
You have just listened to Stream Globe Devotional. Stream Globe is non-denominational and interdenominational. We encourage you to share this devotional, and let's touch lives together. To learn more about this ministry and get more of our resources, visit streamglobe.org.